unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Pam, come on. It's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace in many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God. Thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day. Day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. My day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
That's the kind of dangerous prayer we're talking about today. Well, not quite. But I got to give Greg some props because he stepped out of his comfort zone. He did something which typically most people don't want to do, which is to pray out loud. And then to have to do it in front of his pretty whacked up father-in-law, we got to give him some props, right? He got out of his comfort zone. And this is what we've been talking about in this series. It's time for change. We've been saying, you know what? It's time to get out of our comfortable life. It's time to start living big, to take risk, to take leaps of faith, to live on the edge, to live dangerously for Jesus. And one of the ways we've been talking is, okay, we've got to live this way. And today we're going to talk about praying dangerous prayers. And here's the big idea for today's message. If you're taking notes, what you pray about, what you pray for reflects what you believe about God. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. If you don't pray at all, that reflects that you don't believe in a God. If you pray small prayers, that reflects that you believe in a God that can't answer big ones. If your prayers are all about yourself, Lord, bless me, help me, comfort me, be with me, this reflects that you believe in a God that's there to serve you. And if maybe you're here and you're the type that likes to use prayer as the last resort, you say, well, we've done everything that we possibly can. We've done all that we can do. I guess all that's left to do is to pray. All we can do now is pray. It's the last resort, meaning God is last on your list. Our prayers reflect what we believe about God. And so here's what I'd like for us to do. Let's just take a couple of minutes. I want you to think of some of the things you've prayed for over this past week alone. What are some of the things that you've been praying for? And you can just highlight it in your mind, or maybe you want to write it down under your program there. What are some things that you've been praying about this past week? Maybe it's been a job situation. Maybe it's a deal that you're trying to close. Maybe you've been praying about your finances. Maybe you've been praying about your marriage, your family, maybe a family member. Maybe some of you here, you've been praying that Christ Community Church would be this healthy, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching church where many would come to faith. If you've been praying that, you write that. This would be a prayer for every one of us here. What have you been praying for this past week? And let me ask you, if God had answered yes to each one of those prayers, if he stamped yes, if he did a check mark, yes, answered. Not no, not maybe later. No, yes. In every single one of those prayers, what would be different about the world today? I mean, if he answered yes to every single one of your prayers, what difference would it make in our world today? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're bad prayers. I'm just saying that maybe, just maybe, they're small ones. And see, if we want to be dangerous enough to change our world, if we want to make a difference in it, then like the disciples, we're going to have to start praying some very dangerous prayers. Let me show you in a place in the Bible where there are many, but I want to show you one. I want to highlight one, and it's found in Acts chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles, Bible apps, we're going to have verses up on the screen, also in your program there. Acts chapter 4. And while you turn there, let me go ahead and give you a backdrop as to what's happening. Peter gave his first sermon. Thousands of believers came to faith. I give that guy props. My first sermon, very next Sunday, two people showed up. So Peter's got thousands of people. He gives a second sermon. More thousands of people just start showing up. There's this movement that God is creating through the power of his Spirit. People are coming to faith. Marriages are being changed. Lives are being changed. There's miracles happening right before their eyes. Blind, seeing, dead, walking. People that never be able to stand are jumping for joy. God is moving and people are so excited about what is happening. Everyone's excited but some religious people. They're not liking what they're seeing. They don't like what is happening. And so what they end up doing, because they have this hatred, and you got to wonder why. Why are they so upset? What is it that these guys are doing that gets them so upset? You want to know what it is? That in everything they did, all they talked about, these two guys, Peter and John, was about Jesus. And every time something good happened, they gave all the glory to Jesus. And when people were being healed, they did it in the name of Jesus. And these religious people, they couldn't take that. They couldn't stand it. And so they got a plot where they put John and Peter in prison. They were torturing them. They were beating them. They were secluding them from their family and their friends. And finally, they started thinking, you know what? The way to stop this movement is maybe if we let them go, but we tell them, we let them go on the condition of they can't talk about Jesus anymore. This is it. And so they have a sit down with them. They say, listen, you love your friends. You love your family. Yes, we do. We're going to let you go. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to go after them and their families. But you have to stop talking about Jesus. That's the only condition. Stop talking about Jesus. And so they release them. And here's what happens next. Acts 4, 23, 24. Upon their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. They went back to the other fellow believers, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, all those religious people. And they're saying, hey, guys, they don't want us to do this anymore. They're trying to stop what God's doing. They don't want us to talk about Jesus. They don't want us to say all these things that are happening are because of Jesus. And in verse 24, when the other believers heard this, you know what they did? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. That was their first response. Not, hey, how are we going to handle this? Hey, let's make some plans. What are we going to do? Let's make plans. No, the first thing they did was to raise their voices together in prayer. And not only did they go to God first through prayer, but they also understood how something incredible happens when believers come together and pray. There's power in that. And this is the major reason why we continually emphasize, hey, Get connected in a church. It doesn't have to be Christ Community. It could be, there's several churches around. Get connected to a church. And you know what? Get connected to a life group. We're going to start promoting that. There's power that happens when you get a group of believers that are praying over you. There's power in that. Now, I'm not saying we can't have friends that are not Christians. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. If you go to one of your non-Christian friends, sure, they may be able to give you counsel. But you know what they won't be able to do? They won't pray for you. They'll say, hey, based on my experience, based on my background, based on my perspective, and here's what I think you should do. And it may be helpful, and it may not. It may be wise, it may not be. But they still can't pray for you. And they ain't going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. They won't say, hey, I went through this very same thing. And you know what? God showed me this verse, and it gave me strength, and it gave me the courage to face it. And this is what it said. They won't be able to do any of that. And see, the first Christians, they shared the difficult circumstance they were facing to other fellow believers because they knew what their first response would be, and that is prayer. And sure enough, they did just that. Here's what they prayed, verse 24. They said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and you spoke by the Holy Spirit. Indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire. They said, they conspired to kill your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, they still did it what your power and will had decided beforehand. That's how sovereign you are. And do you see how they pray with this massive God consciousness? They're recognizing that God is the supreme creator, that he made all things. And if we can get to this point where we truly believe that God is in control over all, when we can get to that point where we trust in God's ability to rule over all, then we're able to live dangerously. We're able to pray fearlessly. I want you to know that. One of the things that I love learning from other pastors. Some well-known, some not so well-known. Yeah, there's the Billy Grahams and the MacArthurs and the Chandlers, and those are great guys to learn from. But you know what? I also love learning from the ones that you don't hear about. That they're in the other part of the world having an incredible impact for Jesus, and through all this, they're constantly being persecuted. Take, for instance, this one pastor in Romania. In the midst of this persecution, okay, they had him in this under house arrest. They were constantly interrogating him. They were torturing him. They were doing all sorts of malicious, horrible things that I'm not going to even say. But they couldn't break him. And one time, they were all surrounding him, and they asked, why don't you just give in? Why is it that you will not renounce your faith? And you know what his response was? He said, you know what's taking place here isn't an encounter between you and me. This is an encounter between my God and I. And the interrogators, they looked at him, they were puzzled. They didn't know what he was talking about. He said, my God is teaching me a lesson through you. And maybe he wants to teach me several lessons. I only know, sirs, that you can only do to me what God wants you to do to me. And you ain't going to go an inch further because you are only an instrument of my God. This is something between God and I, and he's allowing and he's ordaining. And so every time these guys would come back down getting ready to torture, most people would be like, oh, great, here they come. Here these guys are coming. They're going to do this again. You know what he was thinking? Here comes my father's puppets. Here they come. And he was able to get through it all. They finally set him free because they themselves got converted. Now right there is a man who trusted in God's ability to control all things. And I want us to think about this for a second. Because there are many in this room right now that are facing some circumstances. There are some things in your lives that you did not expect or would have ever chosen. There are things going on in your life or with your family right now you didn't plan, you would have never imagined, but they're happening. I want to remind you of this. No matter what happens in your life, God is in control. He's in control of every detail. He is sovereign. We just need to trust in Him. If cancer strikes, you know what? Cancer is not in control. It's not sovereign. If you lose your job, your company, your boss, they're not sovereign. They're not in control. No matter what happens, no matter what circumstances pop up out of nowhere, seem to catch you off guard, know this. God is not surprised by it. He ain't caught off guard from it. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's ordained it. And He's ordained it for the purpose of advancing the gospel through you. And that, my friends, is what our life should be about. See, these early Christians, they prayed some of the most dangerous prayers because they knew if it fell in line with the purposes of advancing the gospel, that God would answer. And it is my hope as a church that we have this kind of focus. And to get there, I believe that we need to constantly be praying these two types of prayers right here. Number one, here are the two dangerous prayers that we should pray as a church. You're taking notes. First one is, pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. Now that may seem pretty obvious, but we don't usually pray for that. What do? We want quick fixes, easy answers. We pray for safety, provision, blessings, peace when we go through difficult times. But these Christians right here, look what they first prayed. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. See, here's the deal. I ain't praying, hey, Lord, get rid of this trial, Lord. Crush our enemies. God, close the prisons. Lord, give us a place to hide all our families and our assets. Make sure it doesn't go bad. Protect us. They're not praying that. They're not praying for anything out there to change. You know what they're praying for? For something in here to change. They pray, don't get us around the valley of the shadow of death. You get us through the valley. We don't want to avoid what you have sovereignly ordained and placed before us. Just give us the boldness to face it. You ever prayed like that? You ever prayed with that kind of boldness? I mean, instead of asking for blessings and safety in a difficult situation, have you ever said, God, just make me bold to get through it? See, most people have never done that. Maybe because they never thought to, or because, hey, it is a dangerous kind of prayer. We like our comfortable lives. I like it. I don't want anybody to rock my boat. But see, ultimately, bold prayers end up becoming other focused, other people centered type prayers. Boldness isn't helping me make my life better. It's helping others benefit from this. It's saying, Lord, I understand all that's going on in my life. I don't get it. I don't know why I'm suffering, but use it somehow to bless those around me. Which leads us to the second way we should pray. And that is to pray for miracles. Don't be afraid to pray for miracles. Look at verse 30. Look at how they prayed for others. They said, stretch out your hands, God, to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Those are some ginormous prayers right there. They're saying, God, heal the sick people, raise the dead, do miraculous signs. Those are some big, bold prayers. And if we want to make a difference in this world, we got to pray those type of prayers. And I want to confess something to you all. You know, when I first started pastoring, there were people that would come up in with these life and death situations. And part of me was saying, hey, pray for a miracle, pray for a miracle. And the other part of me was saying, I'm not going to pray for that. What if it doesn't happen? And me and my foolishness and not understanding how God is in control of all, I wouldn't pray it. But I learned that you get bold and you pray. And when you put your trust in Jesus, that he is sovereign, you watch him do some incredible miracles. There was this young girl at the previous church I was in, and she was a stripper, and the church received her and loved on her and prayed for her. And we got a call that she ended up in the hospital diagnosed with, she had this big old tumor that was found in her stomach. And they were saying it's more than likely cancerous. And so all of us, we went to the hospital and we prayed. And you know what? We prayed with this boldness that we said, God, make a miracle happen. Make it to the point where the doctors are dumbfounded because they just don't understand what's going on. And I kid you not, true story, we get a call. And here you have this specialist with the other doctors, and they are straight up arguing because they did another scan and there was nothing there. We prayed with boldness and we trusted that God would do a miracle, and he answered. And I've heard many of your stories, some of your testimonies. That's a miracle from God. That's the miracle. You're experiencing the miracle of salvation right there. And friends, yes, it's true. Miracles don't happen all the time. We can't set our clock by it. But that's why we call them miracles. But when God's people are on a mission praying for boldness so that others would come to know Jesus, then guess what? Something supernatural happens. That's the first Christians. They had total confidence in God's wisdom and goodness. So they prayed for miracles. And how did God answer? Look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Now, what is that shaking? That's a very important thing right here. Is this like a Steven Spielberg special effect type thing? Is this just like a nice touch that God is adding, like a thunderclap, or maybe it's just a bolt of lightning or something like that? No, this is the heart of things. It's the visible representation of the presence of God. And he's affirming to them their mission to share the gospel. And see, there are times when God shows up in our lives, and sometimes there's an actual shaking in the space that we're in. Sometimes we feel uncertain and unstable, and things are getting out of control. There's a shake. There's circumstances are shaking our lives, and we're not sure what's going on. You know what it is? God is saying, I'm sovereign. I'm here for you. I'm the only firm footing you will have and you will ever need. First Christians believed in this. They trusted in this. This is why their prayers were focused on others. And look what ended up happening. The other part of verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. As a church, this is what we need from you all. To pray with this kind of boldness, to be focused on others so that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you want me to tell you why? We live in a day where guys like me and other pastors, we're supposed to be bold. Ain't nothing new. Quite frankly, real credibility lies with you. It's the single dad. It's the single mom. It's the single woman, the married couple, the single man. It's the high school kid. It's the college kid. It's those who are sick. It's the CEOs of the company. It's the regular Christian with an irregular affection for Jesus. You have a listening that is so much more different than someone like me. And yeah, I get it. Some of you are shy. Yeah, I get it. Some of you are quiet. You like to avoid conflict. But hey, I was all the above. I was the quiet guy. You know, we'd have parties. I'd go to even my wife's family's party. And I'd be the guy that would sit at the very corner by myself, just alone. And they used to always tell her, hey, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with your boyfriend? He's just weird. He's just always on the corner there. Just never says a word and just, is he okay? They used to think I had, my teeth were all messed up because I wouldn't even smile. I'd just be, why does he, is he, true story. I said, he's an awkward guy. And heck, I'm still awkward. But I love people. And I sure do love Jesus. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to just move in your life, He'll change you. He'll move you outside of what's comfortable so that you can share your love and faith with others. And so here's what I think a good way to end the service is. I want to give us a chance to pray for boldness and to pray for miracles for one another. And remember, there's power when believers come together. And we're not going to get all crazy in here, but we're going to boldly ask God to do miracles. And when God answers, we're going to tell everybody He showed up. So He gets all the glory. We're going to do something different. We're going to stand for prayer. Okay? Let's all stand for prayer. And I want to ask you something. As you bow your heads for prayer, as everyone bows their heads for prayer, if you're in need of a miracle right now, or you have a family member, someone you love, in need of a miracle, would you just raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask you to stir up our boldness. We trust in your sovereignty. We trust in your power, Lord. We believe that you are a God of miracles. Stir before us that kind of boldness that it's required to pray these kind of prayers. Heal those that are sick, Lord. Remove all traces of cancer. Prosper those that are hurting financially, Lord. Wash away those that are depressed, those who are addicted to the chains of the enemy. Would you release them? And Father, we ask that you rebuild marriages. And if there's someone here that has not gotten to know you personally, there's a wall, there's maybe it's pride, maybe it's anger, maybe it's they've been hurt prior. They've never taken that step of faith. May they release that, Lord. May they trust in you and take that step of faith. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Lord, we just ask that you'd open up your hand before your people and you would create this miracle that they desperately need. In the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen.